You would take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Book of Matthew chapter 6. And for our scripture reading, we'll begin reading with verse 19 and read through the remainder of that chapter. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Let's all stand together, please, for the scripture reading this morning as I read, beginning with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the Word of God. We thank you for the blessings of it, and we ask that you will add your blessing to the reading of it. I pray today that you'll open our hearts to all that takes place, and help us receive from you today the things you have in store for us. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Place that is wondrously fair, for it glows with the light.
Thank you for that. If you would take your Bibles again and look at Matthew chapter 6. In the scriptures we just read, I want to read a verse of that. And then we'll look at four other portions of scripture in the book of Matthew before we preach the message this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Look in verse 30. The Bible says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Look over in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, he said, "He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Look in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. In Matthew 14, verse 31, the Bible says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And one final scripture in chapter 16 and verse 8. "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" I want you to notice in each one of these portions of scripture, in which I get my title for the message this morning, "O ye of little faith." And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will open our hearts. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll speak to every one of us. Help us to hear from you today exactly what you've brought us here for. And I pray that you'll help us to leave this place in better contact and more willing to serve you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In each of these portions of Scripture, we see Jesus talking to some those that were around him. Matter of fact, in each one of these cases, it was somebody that was close to Jesus. It was somebody who had followed Jesus. It was somebody who had given their life to doing the things that Jesus said to do. It was the inner circle, so to speak, of those that had been chosen by Jesus himself to follow him. And in each one of these cases, Jesus said these words, which sound like unusual words to one that had followed Jesus. Sounds like unusual words to one that had given their life to be one of his disciples. Sounds like unusual words to somebody that has given up all they have to follow him and to live the lifestyle that he has asked them to live. But in each case he said these words, "O ye of little faith." And that's what I want to look at this morning, is each one of those times when Jesus said to somebody or to his disciples, he said, "O ye of little faith." And I believe there's some reasons why each time he had to look at those men and say, "O ye of little faith." There are some reasons why many times we may say we've given our life to Jesus, why sometimes we have little faith. Even we may say, I've become a member of the church and I try to attend faithfully. And sometimes Jesus can say, "O ye of little faith." Say, "But I've given my life to serve God." And sometimes Jesus comes to us and says, "O ye of little faith." Why is it that many times we have little faith? Why is it that there were at least four times that Jesus came to his disciples and said, "O ye of little faith"? Let's look back at Matthew chapter 6. Look at the first time that Jesus said these words. In the scripture we read earlier, we see that the disciples have gotten together. And I can almost picture in my mind, as these few disciples have just seen some of the miracles that Jesus had performed and heard some of the message that Jesus had preached, and they got together and went to the post office and picked up their mail. And on their way home, they began opening up the mail. They noticed that each one of those pieces of mail they got was not a friendly letter, but a business letter from the light company, from the electric company, from the gas company, and all the other companies of their day. And they began opening up the letters and looked at all the bills they had coming in. And then they opened up their wallet and looked at the income that they had. And for some reason, the income and the bills just didn't match up. For some reason, the bills just seemed to be a little bit more this month than the money they had left. And it seemed to be like this every month. They look at the bills and they look at the money they've got, and the bills always seem to be more than the money they've got. And they're trying to figure out how to keep the wolves off their doorstep for another month. And then Jesus comes along, sees the disciples standing there, and he says these words to them, "O ye of little faith." Know why Jesus said, ye have little faith? The same reason that many times that Jesus has to say to us, O ye of little faith, because of worry. One of the big things that causes us to have little faith is worry. One of the big reasons that Jesus says to us, you have little faith, is because of worry. So many times when we have problems that come into our life, or so many times when it doesn't look like there's any way out, the easiest thing for us to do is to start worrying. Oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to make it through this week? How am I going to take care of this need? These things are piling up, and those things are piling up, and I've got problems here, and I've got to meet somebody tomorrow and do this the next day and take care of this problem the next day, and worry, 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 worry. And we wonder why sometimes Jesus looks down and says, O ye of little faith. But Jesus had a way to take care of that worry. He said in verse 25, And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus said, you folks, you disciples, you're worrying about your raiment and worrying about getting your clothing and taking care of this and having clothes for the children and taking care of your clothing, and you're worried about your raiment. He says, go out and take a look at the lilies of the field. And look how God has arrayed them. He said, Solomon, one of the richest men that have ever lived, has not been arrayed like those lilies of the field. And if God would take care of the lilies of the field and array them in all their beauty, don't you think that God can take care of your raiment also? Look in verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Back in verse 26 he said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into their barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Say, but we're worried about the food bill. How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to have food to eat? How am I going to take care of the meals this week? And God says, look at the sparrow. I've taken care of the sparrow. The sparrow always has food to eat. And if I can take care of the sparrow, just a little sparrow that's here today and going tomorrow, don't you think I can take care of you also? Don't you think I can take care of your needs also? If the Heavenly Father can take care of the sparrow, if the Heavenly Father can array the lily of the field, certainly our Heavenly Father can take care of our needs also. Look in verse 34. So take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Say, but I'm worried about what I've got to do tomorrow. I've got things I've got to take care of. I've got this need and that need and that and this need over there. And God says, take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for your raiment. Take no thought, what he's saying is, quit your worrying about the raiment. Quit your worrying about the food. Quit your worrying about tomorrow. And he gives us this answer right here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Say, well, preacher, how am I going to make it if I'm not worried about tomorrow? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But preacher, how in the world am I going to make it if I'm not worried about the raiment? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. A preacher, how am I going to make it if I'm not worried about the food? And how am I going to make it if I don't worry about getting food on the table and taking care of the needs of it? How am I going to make it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Preacher, how am I going to make it if I'm not worried about the things of tomorrow? How can I make it? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is human nature to worry and to worry. Worry about the raiment. Worry about the food. Worry about tomorrow. And we answer questions that nobody's asking. It's so easy to worry about something that hasn't taken place yet. Wait till it takes place. Then worry about it. we are worried about something. We're worried about, what if this happens? Well, what if it doesn't happen? What if this takes place? Well, it might not take place. Doesn't do any good worrying about it. But what will happen if the building caves in?
You'll get hurt. That'll happen. Don't worry about it. You'll get killed, and you won't have to worry about it anymore anyway. What'll happen if this happens? By the way, the building won't cave in. All that noise is just our young people up there. And second thought, maybe it will cave in. Let's all get out of here. And but what'll happen if what if this happens? Well, maybe it won't happen. Quit worrying about it. Most of the things that we worry about never take place anyway. So why worry about it? The first thing he says, oh, ye have little faith. You're worrying. Quit your worrying. I'll take care of your needs. Quit your worrying. I'll take care of your raiment. Quit your worrying. I'll take care of your food. Quit your worrying. I'll take care of your tomorrow. Only thing you've got to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'll take care of all those things. He said, if you worried all day long about your stature, how many cubits is that going to add to your stature? Your worrying about it isn't going to get you any taller or get you any shorter. That's what he's saying. He said, you go ahead, you take thought all day long and think, I'm going to grow, I'm going to grow, I'm going to grow. Now, I can think that and grow this way, but I don't know if I can think that and grow this way. I like to think about growing this way, amen? That's my kind of thinking there. And my worrying is growing this way. That's what I worry about. And how much thought do you think it'll take you to grow another cubit to your height? Your thinking and your worrying about it isn't going to get you any taller. So Jesus is saying, quit your worrying. Well, if I don't worry, what am I going to do? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Man, if I quit worrying, look at all the free time I'd have. All the free time you could be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Bible says, first of all, oh ye of little faith. Why? Because of worry. We've been worrying, worry, worry. This morning I was thinking about the message. When I was woke up, I was humming this tune. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus every day. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest wholly on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Truth of the matter is, if we did more praying, we'd do less worrying. And the more worrying we do, the less praying we do. And the more praying we do, the less worrying we do. I was reading about a man who was worrying all the time, always worrying. The fellow says, won't you just pray about it? And they started praying about it. Late at night, late awake at night, worrying and worrying and worrying. He says, well, start praying. So while he was laying there, he started praying about the needs and praying about this and praying about that. Before he knew it, he had fallen off to sleep, and the next morning woke up, rested, and wasn't worrying anymore. You take those things to the Lord. Take your burdens to him. Cast all your burdens upon Jesus, and he can take care of our needs. We worry about things we don't need to worry about. If I am seeking him first, I don't need to worry. The reason we worry is because we're not seeking him first. And you put Jesus first in your life, and you'll find you won't have as much problem worrying. You seek him first and his righteousness, you won't have time to worry. Amen? Put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. By the way, let me help you right here. There's two things you never have to worry about. There's two things in your life you'll never, ever have to worry about. If you'll remember this, it'll help you. Now, if you'll just quit worrying about these two things right here, that'll help you. Number one, do not worry about things that you can do something about. You don't need to. Do not worry about things that you can do something about. Just go do it. The second thing you don't have to worry about is don't worry about things you can't do anything about. If you can't do anything about it, no sense in worrying. So if you'll just remember that, don't worry about something you can do something about. If you can do something about it, quit worrying about it and go do it. And quit worrying about things you can't do anything about. If you can't do anything about it, there's no sense in worrying anyway. It's not going to change the fact. So you can worry about anything else you want to, but don't worry about those two things. Go ahead and worry about everything else, but just don't worry about the things you can take care of, and don't worry about the things you can't take care of, and spend your time worrying about the other things. All right? That'll help you right there. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus every day. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Lean wholly on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? We spend too much time worrying. There's a fellow, John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, was walking along the street with a man that was worrying all the time. Always, always worrying. Man, I just can't see my way through. I've got this problem. I can't see my way through this problem. And got this problem. And can't see my way through this problem. And John Wesley was walking along with him. And as the guy was telling him all his problems that he couldn't see through, he noticed over there in the field, there was a cow. And there was a big wall in front of the cow, and the cow was looking over the wall. And he said, you see that cow over there in the field? And he said, well, yes, I do. I don't see how that's going to solve my problems. And he said, do you see what the cow's doing? Well, yes. He's looking over the wall. And he said, you can't see your way through it. Just look over them. And by the way, we keep our eyes over the problems and on Jesus, and the problems will take care of themselves. We seek Him first and His righteousness, and we won't have to worry about our worrying. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That means if we put our mind on Jesus Christ and seek Him first with thanksgiving, if we will put our mind on Him and seek Jesus first, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. That's what we need. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and say, Jesus, You promised if I'd seek You first, You'd take care of this need. And Jesus, You said if I'd seek You first in Your righteousness, You take care of this. And You said if I would seek You first in Your righteousness, You'd take care of tomorrow. And You said if I'd seek You first in Your righteousness, You'd take care of the needs of the week. Now don't you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need You to take care of these needs if You haven't been seeking them first. Don't you come to Him and say, okay, Jesus, I don't want to be worrying about the raiment and the food and the things of tomorrow, unless you've been seeking Him first. So, well, Jesus hasn't taken care of my needs. Have you sought Him first? The promise comes to those that seek Him first. There was a poor washwoman. The man came in, and she was always happy. This lady didn't have any money. She was poor, but she was always happy. And the man just couldn't understand it. He said, what is wrong with you? Somebody happy all the time, got to be something wrong with them. came in and says, what is wrong? Why are you always happy? And she said this, I don't have any money to lose, so I never worry about losing any. So I don't have any furniture to lose, because I gave it all to the Lord. And if anything happens to it, the Lord did it to His own stuff, not to mine. She said, I have a healthy body, but if I get sick and I die, I'm going to heaven. You don't think I'll worry about that, do you? So I don't have anything to worry about. If we just had just a sense of that old washwoman that just said, well, gave all my money to the Lord, gave everything I own to the Lord, it's all His. And if He messes it up, that's His problem. It's His stuff. If He wants to mess up my money, it's His. I gave it to Him. If He wants to mess up my car, it's His car. He's going to take care of it. If He wants to mess up my furniture, I gave it to Him. He's got to take care of it. He wants to mess up my kids, I gave them to Him. He's got to take care of it. By the way, you give everything to Jesus and seek Him first, you won't have to worry about anything. Just say, Jesus, I've given it to You. And I've entrusted this to You, and now it's Yours. If I lose it, didn't lose anything anyway. It wasn't mine. Gave it to the Lord. If the car breaks down, well, it was the Lord's car. Lord, You get it fixed. Or else give me the money to fix it. It broke. It's Your car. If you want to keep running. By the way, that would save you a lot of trouble right there, wouldn't it? Save you a lot of worry. That way, when the washing machine breaks down, it's the Lord's washing machine. Saves you a lot of problems. God's going to supply the needs to take care of it. Dryer breaks down, then it's God's dryer. God will supply the needs to take care of it. If the car breaks down, God's car. We spend too much time worrying about God's things. Well, just give them to Him. When they aren't yours anymore, don't have to worry about them anymore. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Save us a lot of problem if we put our trust in Him and what He can do. Jesus came to His disciples. They were worrying about this problem and worrying about that problem and worrying about this thing and worrying about that thing. And Jesus said, O ye of little faith. What was He saying? Put your trust in Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you'll put Him first, God says, if I can take care of the lilies, do you think I can take care of you? If I can take care of the sparrow that flies, don't you think I can take care of you? If I can take care of a lily that's here today and gone tomorrow, how much more am I going to take care of you who's made in the image of God? God says, I'll take care of you. Just seek me first. Oh, you have a little faith. Why?
because we worry. But there's a second time that Jesus said those words in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 26. He said, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Jesus had told his disciples to get into the ship, or Jesus went into the ship, and the disciples followed him. Now notice, they were following Jesus. These were not some folks that said, "Well, Jesus, you go that way, and I'll go my own way." These were not some folks that said, "Well, Jesus, that's your cross to bear. I'm going to take this route." Or, "Jesus, you can go that way if you want to, but I've got my own life to live." No, these were folks that were following Jesus. Now notice what happened to them. They followed Jesus into the ship. They were going where Jesus was going. They were doing what Jesus wanted them to do. They were following Jesus. They got out into the middle of the sea, and the waves started beating against that ship. And the winds begin to blow. And the storm begins to rage against that little ship. And that little ship was being rocked back and forth in those waves. And they said, "Where in the world is Jesus when we need him?" And there was Jesus in the ship, sleeping. Sleeping while the waves were beating against the ship. Sleeping while the wind was blowing. Sleeping while the storm was raging. They went down to Jesus and said, "Jesus, don't you realize what's going on? Don't you realize we're in the middle of a storm? Jesus, we're going to die out here." And Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." You know why many times we have little faith or we don't have much faith? Many times it's because of problems that come into our life. We go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, but I was doing exactly what you told me to do. I'm following you, and now look at the mess I'm in." That's how we are. "Jesus, that's where you went, and that's where I was going, and I was following you, and now look at, I'm right in the middle of a storm." And Jesus says, "O ye of little faith." They were not in the middle of the storm because they rebelled against Jesus. They were not in the middle of a storm because they were going their own way. They were not in the middle of the storm because of disobedience. They were in the middle of the storm because of obedience. They were in the middle of the storm because they were following Jesus. By the way, Jesus never promised you that when you follow him, that everything's going to be easy. He never promised you that. Now, the television evangelist will promise you that, but Jesus never did. Now, some of the radio preachers will promise you that, but God never promised you that. You can't show me where God says, "You follow me and everything's going to be hunky-dory." He doesn't say it. He never said, "You follow me and everything's going to be peaches and cream." More like every once in a while you're going to have some peaches and sour cream. He never said, "Hey, you follow me and everything's going to be all roses." No, you're going to find some thorns on those roses. He didn't say, "You follow me and everything's going to be a bowl of cherries." Yeah, it might be, but there's going to be some pits in those cherries. God never promised you everything was going to be fine. But here's one thing he did promise you. He promises you this. If you follow him, he'll be with you in the storm. That's the difference right there. You're going to go through some storms with or without him. You're going to go through some storms if you don't get saved. There's going to be some storms. You're going to go through some problems if you don't get born again. There's some problems. And there's some problems if you do get saved. And there's some problems if you do get born again. But the difference is, when you get saved and you're following Jesus, Jesus will be there with you. I'd rather go through the storms with him than without him. You can go your own way if you want to, but I'm going to follow Jesus. You can go through your storms by yourself if you want to. I just soon go through the storms that Jesus has for me with him. By the way, we have a lot of saved people that are heading off on their own too, and they're going through the storms. But if you're not following Jesus, Jesus doesn't say, "I'm there." By the way, best thing for you to do when you start going through the storm is you find out where Jesus is at and get with him. You find out where Jesus is and you line up with him. When you start going through the storms, you better make sure that Jesus is there. So where can I find him? Start following him. How do I follow him? Right here. Just find out where Jesus is at according to the Word of God.
and you get as close to Him as you can get while you're going through the storm. Makes your storms a little better. Doesn't mean you'll still go through the storm, but at least you'll know Jesus is there. And if Jesus is in the storm, anything that storm does will not harm you. Might hurt, but it will not harm. Because if it's Jesus' storm and He's with you, He's done it for your good. And you'll come out of the storm better, more peaceful, more happy, because Jesus just says, okay, winds, calm. Okay, waves, settle down. And when Jesus tells a storm to stop, when you get close to Him, He can say, okay, storm, time's up. I don't need you anymore, winds. Don't need any more waves. Just settle down. By the way, you ever think of this? The winds obey Him. The only thing that doesn't obey Him is man. The waves will obey Him. The only thing that doesn't obey Him is man. The fish obey Him. The only thing that doesn't obey Him, naturally, is man. That means that old fish with money in his mouth was smarter than man is. That means the old donkey that he told to talk, smarter than man is. That means many men are dumber than some old donkey or some old fish. Take off in the airplane. He said, well, I'm not gonna fly in the airplane. He said, well, aren't you a saved man? He said, yeah, I'm saved. Well, don't you know God promised, lo, I'm with you always? God's always going to be with you? He said, yeah, I know He's going to be with me. But he said, lo, I'm with you always. No going up in that airplane. Amen. And that's how, by the way, God is with us always. You follow Him, and He can even be with you. Hi, I am with you always. Amen. Let's just follow Jesus. D.L. Moody, one of the great evangelists of the past, used this illustration. He was talking about an old infidel judge. This is early in the early 1900s. An old infidel judge. And he had a man that would carry him around. His carriage driver, so to speak, would take him around from place to place. And this old judge was an infidel, and this carriage driver of his was a saved man. And the saved man, as they'd drive around, with the saved man would keep telling this, he was a servant carriage driver to this old infidel judge, would tell him the problems he was going through. Man, this has happened to me, and this has happened to me, and this has happened, but glory to God, I'm saved, and would tell the blessings and tell the trials he was going through. One day they were riding along in the carriage, and the saved man was telling the infidel judge about Jesus and mentioned some of the trials that comes in his life. The infidel judge says, well, I'm an infidel. I don't even believe in Jesus. Everything's going fine with me. And you saved folks, you're always telling me about the problems you're going through. And it looks to me like I'm better off than you. Why are you always going through problems? Everything seems to be going fine for me. Well, the carriage driver didn't really know much to say, and they continued driving along. The judge always carried with him a shotgun as they traveled along, just in case they'd find some geese or some ducks. The judge would take a little break and shoot some ducks down. They were riding along. They came by this pond, and sure enough, there were some ducks out there. They had told the carriage driver to stop the carriage. He got his shotgun and started shooting. Shot him two ducks, and both of them fell into the water. One was wounded and was flopping around, and one was dead right along the side of the shore. He looks at his carriage driver and says, hurry down and get that duck flopping around down there before it gets away. So he ran down there into the water and caught that wounded duck and brought him back. When he got back to the judge, he said, Judge, I think I've got the answer. You know how when you shot those two ducks, the one was wounded and was flopping around, and the dead one just laid there? And you didn't tell me to go after the dead one. You told me to go after the one that was flopping around. He said, Judge, that's how it is with me and you. He said, the devil doesn't have me. I'm still out there flopping around. He's got to get me fits. But he says, Judge, you're like the dead duck. The devil got you dead sure. You don't have any problems in your life? Better check it out. You might be working on the devil's team. God didn't say everything was going to go good. But he said, you go his way and he'll be there with you. I'd just soon be that duck that's still flopping around, the devil's trying to beat over the head, amen. Or I'd be that old dead duck that devil's got sure dead. What we need to do is just live for him. So, some problems come in. Yeah, might be some problems in your life. But put your eyes on Jesus. And you get as close to him as you can. When the storm came, they went to the right place. They went to Jesus. And said, Jesus, we need your help. We want to be close to you. If you're going down, if we go down, you're going down with us.
And so they found Jesus sleeping in the boat. And Jesus told the waves and the winds to stop. And everything was calm. And you can have peace in the midst of the storm when you follow Jesus. Just follow Him. Why does Jesus sometimes come to us and say, "Oh, ye of little faith"? Sometimes we spend our time worrying about things we don't need to worry about, when all we got to do is seek Him first. Why do Jesus come to us sometimes and say, "Oh, ye of little faith"? We get right in the middle of the storm and we're ready to quit. We're ready to turn back. A little storm comes and we just can't figure it out. God, how could this happen? What should you do in the midst of the storm? Find Jesus. Find out where He's at. And just get as close to Him as you can get. And Jesus can take you through the storm. There's another thing I want you to see in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. Jesus said again, immediately stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men besides women and children. He had sent His disciples out into the boat to go to the other side of the sea. And Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. While the disciples, by the way, again, they were where Jesus told them to go. While they were out in the midst of the sea, a storm came. The winds began to beat against the boat, and the waves beat against the wind, and the rain fell down upon them. They looked out through the storm, and they saw somebody coming to them. As they looked closely, they could see that it was somebody walking on the water, and soon they saw it was Jesus. Peter said, "Jesus, if it's You, bid me to come to Thee." And Jesus said, "Come on." Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk to Jesus. On his way out to Jesus, he began to look at the waves that were around him. Begin to look at the storm that was waging upon him. And Jesus, he began to sink. And Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." What causes us to have little faith sometimes? Sometimes it's worry. Sometimes it's problems and storms we go to. And sometimes it's the circumstances around us. Instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus and putting his trust in Jesus, the one that said, "Come to me," begin to look at the waves around him. Begin to realize the storm was beating down upon him. He took his eyes off of Jesus and put them upon the waves around him and the circumstances around him. And Jesus said, "O thou of little faith." Sometimes we show little faith because of the circumstances around us. One day a mother and a little girl were going to bed. The little girl, daddy wasn't home, and the little girl was a little bit afraid. And even the mother was a little bit squeamish, although she didn't say anything, and they went into the room to lay down and go to sleep. The mother had laid down, and the little girl was laying there after they turned out the lights. She looked out the window, and she saw the moon. And she said, "Mama, is the moon God's light?" And the mama said, "Yes, sweetheart, that's God's light." And she said, "Mama, will God ever turn out His light and go to sleep?" And the mama says, "No, little girl, God never goes to sleep." The little girl pulled the covers up and closed her eyes and said, "Well, if God doesn't go to sleep, and if God's always awake, then I'm not afraid anymore." Well, we need to realize there might be some circumstances around us, but there's a God in heaven that never goes to sleep. We might realize it seems like there's some problems and there's no way out of them, but there's a God in heaven that still knows we're here. And even though the circumstances may get rough, may look like all of a sudden our world's caved in. May look like there's some trials that I'm just not sure I can get through them. There's a God in heaven that never turns out the light, never goes to sleep. He's still there. God knows our every need. God knows who we are. God knows better than we do what's best for our life. A little girl was lost out in a farmer's meadow. Just a little girl. The farmer was out and saw the little girl out there, standing in his meadow. He rode up to her and picked her up, and she snuggled into his arm. And he said, "Now don't cry, sweetheart. I'll take you home." The little girl says, "I knew you'd come." He said, "Well, what do you mean you knew I'd come?" She said, "Because I was praying for you to come." And he said, "But when I found you, all you were doing was quoting the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And he said, all I heard you doing was just quoting the letters of the alphabet. And she said, sir, I'm just a little girl. I didn't know how to pray. So I just quoted the alphabets and said, God, you take these letters and put them together the way you want them. Sometimes that's how we're better off doing it. It's just going to God and say, God, I'm not sure what I need to do. I'm not sure what the next step is, and I'm not sure how to get through the circumstances I'm in. I'm just going to throw this up to you, and you straighten it out and untangle the mess, and I'm just waiting on you. Or it'll be just like that little girl that says, I'm not sure always how to pray. I'll just throw the alphabet up and let God put it together. And sometimes we just need to give God our life and say, God, you put it together. You untangle the mess. You straighten it out. And I'll do it your way. By the way, God can always put the letters together better than we can. And we better realize that. There's circumstances around us. And sometimes we may not understand why or don't understand what's going on and what happened here or the circumstances here. But if we'll go to God and keep our eyes on Jesus, the storm can keep raging if we keep our eyes on Jesus. The winds can keep blowing if we keep our eyes on Jesus. The rain can keep coming if we keep our eyes on Jesus. It's when we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when we begin to sink. And that's when we have the problems. Through the circumstances, is taking our eyes off Jesus. But I want you to notice the other time that Jesus said these words, in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 8. The Bible says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Disciples had gotten together, and Jesus was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. They said, man, what does he mean by that? Maybe Jesus is distraught with us because we didn't bring any bread, because we didn't buy any food. Maybe that's what he's talking about. And Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Sometimes Jesus tells us to do some things, and we don't understand it. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith. Jesus says, I want you to go to church faithfully. We say, but I don't understand that. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith. And Jesus says, I want you to get in the Bible. Read the Bible faithfully. Stay in it. Say, but Jesus, I don't understand. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith. What else causes us to have little faith? Sometimes a lack of understanding. If we'll remember this, God never asked you or told you you had to understand everything. All we have to do is learn to obey. If we'll just learn to obey, understanding will come. But God never said I had to understand to obey. The command is to obey, not to understand. If the understanding comes, that's good. There's a man that was talking with a preacher, and he said, I can't believe something I don't understand. And as they're riding along, the preacher said, well, today, when I was walking along, I saw out in the pasture, I saw some sheep eating some grass. He said, do you believe that? I said, yeah, I believe that. He said, just beyond that pasture, I saw another pasture and saw some calves eating the grass. He said, do you believe that? He said, sure, I believe that. He said, in the next pasture, I saw some pigs eating some grass. He said, do you believe that? I said, well, sure, I believe that. He said, just beyond that, I saw some geese, and they're feeding in the grass. He said, do you believe that? He said, well, yeah, I believe that. He said, how come the calves that ate the grass, and that grass turns into the hair? And how come the pigs can eat the grass, and the grass turns into bristle? And how come the geese can eat the grass, and the grass turns into feather? And how come the sheep can eat the grass turns into wool? He said, do you believe that? And he said, yeah, I believe that. He said, do you understand it? He said, well, no, I don't understand it. He said, young man, if you live long, there's going to be a lot of things that you believe that you don't understand. I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. I don't understand it, but I believe they do it. I don't understand a lot of things about how a car engine works, but I still get in there every day and put the key in and turn it. hoping it will. I don't understand exactly how it works, but I still, it doesn't keep me from putting the key in it. I'm not sure I can understand everything about flipping the light switch and the light's coming on, but I keep doing it. There's a lot of things in life you may not understand, but I believe it. And all God says to do, you may not understand this book, but just believe it and do it. The blessings come not from understanding it. The blessings come from obeying it. What we need to do is just realize that sometimes we show little faith because of our lack of understanding. Great many things that we might not understand. One thing we ought to do is put our trust in the Word of God, whether we understand it or not, and obey it. A lady was walking across the ice and broke through the ice. A man who was nearby saw her screaming for help. He came to get her and help her out of the ice. He reached down to get her, and she was hanging on with the other hand on the ice. He said, "Now, lady, let go with the other hand, and I'll pull you up." She said, "Sir, I can't let go with the other hand. It's holding me up on the ice." He said, "Lady, just let go with the other hand, and I'll pull you up." She said, "But, sir, I can't. That hand is holding me up." He said, "Lady, if you'll let go of the ice and trust me, I'll help you out of there." When she was willing to let go of the ice and to trust him with all that she had, he was able to pull her to her safety. And that's exactly what we have to do with Jesus. What is it that you're still holding on to? What is it that you're grabbing a hold of? And you got a hold of Jesus with one hand and got a hold of something else with the other hand. And Jesus said, "If you'll just let go, I'll help you." You say, "But Jesus, this is my security here. If I let go of this, I'll fall." And Jesus says, "No, let go and I'll help you. Trust me." And you say, "But Jesus, I'd like to, but this is holding me up right here. And if I let go of that, I might fall." And Jesus said, "Just let go, trust me, and I'll pull you to safety." And that's what we have to do many times. Maybe we're holding on to our finances and saying, "That's the only thing that's holding me up." And Jesus says, "Just give it to me. I'll pull you out." We're holding on to this little problem and say, "If I give that up, Jesus, I'll go under." And Jesus said, "Just give it up. Trust me. I'll take care of you." What is it that you're holding on to that's keeping you from going all the way and putting all your trust in him? There's folks that we talk to say, "Well, I'm going to heaven because I go to church." No, just trust Jesus. Talk to a man down in Oklahoma City. He was just went through the whole plan of salvation, showed him how that he was a sinner because of his sin. If he died in his sin, he'd go to hell for all of eternity. But that God loved him, and that Jesus died for him, and that if he'd put his trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior, that God would save him and give him eternal life. The man says, I'll do that. I've got an uncle that passes a church not far from here. I'll go to his church and I'll get saved." And I said, "If you could have got saved there, don't you think you would have got saved there last time? Won't you just trust Jesus?" "But I've got an uncle that's a preacher." "Well, that's fine, but that won't get you to heaven. Won't you just trust Jesus?" And he gave me this excuse and gave me that excuse, and finally I said, "Why don't you just do this? Just let go and let God." That's what it takes right there to get saved. Let go of whatever you're holding on to. Maybe it's this world. Maybe it's some friends. Maybe it's your baptism. Maybe it's communion. Maybe it's your confirmation. Just let go of whatever it is you're trusting in. With both hands, just say, "Jesus, I'm trusting you." And let Jesus pull you up and save you and give you the eternal life that only he can give. And those that have been saved, what is it that's keeping you from going all out for him? Just let go and let God. If you'll just let God take care of it, you follow him, put him first, he can take care of it. Oh, ye of little faith, are we worrying too much? We're going through some problems and we're almost ready to fall by the wayside. Have we been looking at the circumstances instead of looking at Jesus? Now, there's some things that say, "Well, I'd do it if I just understood it." God says, "You do it, and maybe I'll give you understanding later. Obey now, and the understanding will come. O ye of little faith, what is it that's keeping us from putting all our trust in Him alone? And let's pray.